listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Take your Bibles, if you will. Of course, this morning, many of you are thinking about that big upcoming day this week. It's not Super Bowl. How many know what it is? Valentine's Day, exactly. And I want to be succinct on this subject, if I may, but I do want to talk to you a little bit about the origins of Valentine's Day. How you do Valentine's Day is going to be varied. Cards, chocolates. By the way, did you know that this is the biggest sale on chocolates in a calendar year, and that's Valentine's Day? Some of you don't need more chocolate, you're saying. That's okay. You can spend it on flowers. There's nice things like dinners out and matters related. However, let me get to the heart of the matter. Valentine's Day was commemorated and is commemorated due to the life of a Christian Roman bishop who was executed on February the 14th. The year was 272 AD. Now I want you to keep in mind, it was later, 313 AD. I don't know if you know what happened then, but that's when the Roman ruler Constantine was drawn to Christianity, and he made Christianity the state religion of the existing Roman Empire. But things were a little different about 30 or 40 years before that. The then emperor of the Romans, Aurelius, had imprisoned a bishop, and his name was Valentine, for continuing to perform marriages for Christian soldiers despite the Roman decree. Aurelius needed these guys, these soldiers, to win and fight his wars. Yet these soldiers, those that were Christian, did not want to participate in immorality, and they wanted to marry. And so this bishop, Valentine, honored their request, contrary to the emperor's decree. Valentine was imprisoned. And while in prison, he cured the jailer's daughter of blindness. How many know signs and wonders were promised to follow the Christian faith? And the pair, ironically, fell in love. The bishop and this jailer's daughter. You could say it was love at first sight, but just saying. You like that? Ultimately, their desires were frustrated as the bishop was executed on February the 14th of the next year. On the eve of that execution, Valentine sent a passionate letter to his beloved, and he simply signed it, "Your Valentine." And it goes on. The legacy of Valentine has survived long after his death. There was such an uproar over this execution among the Christian community in Rome that the authorities had to bury his body quickly to prevent a riot. But there were three of his followers who found his body and took it to Terni in Umbria, And here he is perfectly embalmed. Still further, young lovers still travel to the tomb to ask his blessing every year in the month of February. True story. Today, rather than focus on perhaps this tradition, and it's true, I want to give you a basis for biblical love. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read a few verses starting in verse 5. And I'm going to read to you out of the English Standard Version this morning. Chapter number 12, verse number 5. Here's what the writer to the Hebrews says. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? Interesting passage, isn't it? I want to say this in the very beginning of this message to you. The road that you walk through as believers in this life is a different road than your non-Christian neighbors travel. I want you to get that in your minds today. The road that you travel as a believer is a different pathway than your unsaved friends, neighbors travel in their lives. That is what it means, or where it is going. Unsaved folk take life for what it hands them. Yet when you go through difficult days in your life, you do so having the capability of not growing bitter, and furthermore, understanding the whys of life. Why this happens to you. Why God allows things that are sometimes unimaginable to come your way. As well, you have the option of leaning on and loving the Lord more through those circumstances of life. And what's even greater than that, it is proof positive that you are a card-carrying member of the family of God. In worship this morning, I was thinking about the fact that we are all children of God. Have you ever come to terms with the fact that there are no adult children of God? Or adults of God, let me put it that way. The Bible always makes reference to us as children of God, not adults of God. We need to posture ourselves as children. And making sense of life will only happen when you see yourself as a child of God and God as our Father. That's the only way you can make sense of this. And when you understand that you are simply a child in the family of God, this is a huge confirmation of the pathway that God has put us on. You're a part of something bigger than yourself. You are part of God's family. Wow. Poke your neighbor and say, I'm part of God's family. That's pretty special, pretty important. You are one of his daughters, and you are one of his sons. We are his children. And you are one of his special kids today. I want to say that. Maybe, though, when you read about trials in the Bible, you sometimes can't relate. You're thinking, I don't know what the Bible is talking about. Everything is humming. Life's good. Everything's going well. And it may have been like that for quite a while. No problems of any kind. You got money in the bank. No health concerns. Kids are perfect. Marriage is wonderful. Am I talking to the group here? While that might seem like good news, I want you to know something that's not good news. If that's what you're experiencing, that element of ideal perfection in your life, you need to go back to go and find out if you're really in the family or not. Because the Bible says, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Which means you're going to go through some rough water. Because in my mind's eye, discipline has to do with crossing our wills. And how many know the Lord will cross your will? I'm here to promise you he may cross your will dozens of times in a day. I'm kind of a fan of Dennis the Menace. Know the character? He gets his will crossed by Mr. Wilson, his mom, his dad. He's worn the carpet out in his little rocking chair in the corner. The teachers cross his will all the time. One little incident occurred. He brought the report card home, and him being in kindergarten, he said, who are you going to believe? His teacher has been in kindergarten for 10 years. He's trying to convince his mother otherwise. I'm here to say this morning that whoever the Lord loves, he's going to discipline. But if you are, in fact, in the family of God, there are a lot of amazing things that are coming your way. As 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1 says, and I want to read it for you, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. This morning I want to give you some family benefits. What are the benefits of being in the family of God that offset any trial, any discipline, any hardship that you'll ever experience in this life? How many want to see? What are the benefits that are worth the journey? The Bible's full of them. I'm going to give you a few of them today. So take a look at these. Number one, you get hell canceled. That's a pretty good deal. Even if the list stopped at this point, it would be amazing. You get hell completely canceled out of your life. That's a family benefit. No hell. The second one is you get heaven guaranteed. Powerful. I want you to listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 says, but it is written. I mean, no, that's pretty important when you read things like that in the Bible. That's God speaking to you. It says this, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. You get heaven guaranteed. Hell canceled, heaven guaranteed. We're enough said. You can go home now. Pretty important stuff, but the list goes on. Let me give you another. Number 3, you get the Spirit of God in you as a deposit. That's pretty amazing. By the way, a deposit is only a portion. When you buy a house and you put a deposit on the house, you didn't buy the whole house yet. You just put a deposit on it. Buy a car, you put a deposit on it, and then you go and follow through on your commitment to eventually own the car, the house, whatever. But when you get saved, you get a deposit of the Holy Spirit, but there's more. What's more? Well, you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, an experience subsequent to salvation where God empowers you to live for him. I mean, well, that's a pretty good deal as well. Next, you get the gifts of the Spirit and the rest of the blessings that come as a Spirit-filled believer in Jesus. Well, that's all real good, but there's more. Number 4, you get the assurance of forgiveness of sins. That's a big deal. No guilt. No condemnation. Jesus has taken that away from you. That's pretty good. I mean, if more Christians lived in that truth, we'd spare ourselves a lot of agony in this life. That the consequences of our sin has been removed from us. Furthermore, number 5, the camaraderie of Christian fellowship. That's amazing. Do you realize what's happened when you were born into the family of God? You become a child of God. You got yourself a whole new slate of brothers and sisters. When you read in the Bible and you see those addressed as family members, brothers and sisters, that's pretty special. Look around the room. These are your brothers and your sisters. Jesus qualified who, in fact, were his true brothers and sisters and mothers. He said it's those that do the will of God or fulfill Father's kingdom on the planet. So we have a whole new network of relationships that come our way as we embrace the workmanship of Jesus in our life. So I need you this morning to see your life from a kingdom perspective. It's going to help you understand the dynamic of love in your life, how God loves you, how he sees you, and why he disciplines you. He disciplines you and he disciplines me because he loves us. If we don't experience the disciplines of the Lord, I want you to get a hold of this, church. It's a scary place to be. Welcome the disciplines of the Lord. Hebrews 12:6 says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. So let me speak that truth loudly this morning, clearly and straightforward into your heart. God loves you. Did you hear that? God loves you. Really. His eyes are upon you every moment. That's what 2 Chronicles chapter 16 says. Jeremiah chapter 31 says, you are never out of his thoughts. That's pretty special. And then Romans chapter 8 says nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what's more, if that isn't enough, you did nothing to deserve his love. And you don't do anything to maintain his love. You didn't earn it, so you can't ever lose his love. And God has chosen to set his love on you, not because of who you are, it's because who he is. You didn't choose him, he chose you. He is your father, and you are his child, period. No debate. He's your father, you're his child, he loves you, he spanks you sometimes, he disciplines you because he loves you. Every trial you go through in life proves this fact. So what trials are you experiencing right now? The Bible tells you to consider them all joy. They're pointing you to the fact that God loves you. Can you identify any trials? Come on, just think about it. How many can identify a trial? Right now, come on. Put your hands up. Good job. That means God loves you. I wish everyone in this room had a revelation of that. I'm going somewhere with that. Are you able to see them as God's proof of love for you? Because if you can, and if you just heard what I just said, that is a spiritual revelation to you. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to ask you to ask the Lord to open your spiritual eyes. I want you to hear this. This is powerful. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. Everybody, take your Bible. 2 Kings chapter 6. Because I want every one of us to have our eyes spiritually opened here this morning. One of our worship songs, we sang about the presence of God and there are angels all around. How many remember us singing something to that effect? Look at what 2 Kings chapter 6 says. I'm going to start at verse number 16. Actually 15. And when a servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, and he went out. A force surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots. That's a picture of the enemy encompassing our life. The enemy is not desirous for you to succeed. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he said, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than with them." Here's spiritual revelation for you. When you are going through your worst trial, you got to know that your Father is engaged. The Holy Spirit is with you. Look what verse number 17 says. Then Elijah prayed. The prophet, the man of God, prayed. He said, "Lord, open his eyes." And that's what I want to ask you to do this morning, is have the Lord open your eyes and let him see beyond the problem, the trial, the tribulation. I want you to see the love of God manifest in you. Let him see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots. God's got your back, church. Doesn't matter what the enemy throws your way, God's forces outnumber the enemy, outmatch the enemy. And it says here, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. Wow. Elijah, son of God. David, son of God. Ben, son of God. Lorna, daughter of God. How many know we have in this room an advocate with the Father? His name is Jesus, and he's got our backs. And if we could only see what was surrounding us and is surrounding us, there wouldn't be a measure of doubt in our lives, not whatsoever. Because God is sufficient. That word just means there's nothing more that we will ever need. He's sufficient for the task. Well, church, I want you to stand with me, and I want you this morning to realize that as we approach Valentine's Day, there was a guy who loved the Lord. He stood for morality. It cost him his life, but he projected to our generation the meaning of love. And we read out of scripture and learn today that we are his children, God's children. And because we're God's children, he loves us, he spanks us, he crosses our will. And by the way, he'll probably do that a dozen times before this day is over. He'll cross your will, because he's a loving father. And because we're Dennis the Menaces, he has to do that. He's forced to do that because he's a God of love. He's not going to let us be Dennis the Menaces. Are you hearing me? He loves us. And he cares for us. And even in the hardest things of life, the hosts of heaven back us. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this assuring truth that you will never leave us or forsake us, that your love surrounds us even when we don't see it. And as we embrace life as your followers, we welcome the trials, because your word says that they lead to ultimate joy. And today, as we realize that we are your children, not bullheaded adults in the family of God, but just your children, we realize that we need you more than we have ever needed you before. So work in us, Lord Jesus, to fulfill your plan and your purpose. And may the next days of our life be productive for the kingdom. Next weeks and months, as we embrace you and as our eyes are opened to the spiritual pathway that you put us on the day that we've experienced your salvation. thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstone.com.